Yamadagay, Gimbe, Bidipi, Baray. That means welcome, friends, to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people who stayed into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kids.
A couple of months ago, I fielded some listeners' questions to Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison. Hello, I'm Heidi and welcome to King's Kids. Today I have some more listeners' questions for Tony, so settle in and listen as Tony explains some of the basic principles he lives by. Tony, how do you handle it when you're actually witnessing to people and people actually say, no, I don't believe what you're saying, I'm not interested?
Well, 9 out of 10 times you're guided by the Holy Spirit. Well, you should be guided by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes a lot of people will say no, but they really mean yes. Like, I'll give you an example. I met a woman a few months back when I was watching a rugby league game at the club on the big screen. This lady was intoxicated, and for the last 8 to 10 times I see her, you know, she says, I don't want to talk about religion. And, you know, you won't get me to set foot in a church. And even though she keeps saying no with her mouth, but her heart and her body language says yes. Because last week I sat down with her and I said to her, you don't want me to talk about religion, but can I talk to you about what God has done in my life on a personal level? And an hour and a half, 2 hours later, she was so intense at listening to what I was saying that, you know, she didn't realise that she was listening all about God and what God had done for her, even though she was still a sinner and not accepting of God. And so, yes, when she says no, sometimes they really mean yes. But sometimes somebody will say no, and then they'll get up and walk away from you. That don't mean you hunt them down with the King James Bible and bash them over the back of the head and hogtie them and get them on the floor and shove it down their throat. But you got to use wisdom. And you got to know when no is no, and when yes, when no means yes.
Would you say that you would also pray for people to see if you could witness to them if God thinks that's the right time?
Yes, of course, Heidi. When you know that God's spoken to your heart, when you hear that little innermost voice, either late in the night or when you're praying or when you wake up in the morning, you have that feeling that the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention to go pray for somebody, or to go witness to them, it's the best time to then is to pray. And it's easy to pray because you say something like this. You say, Father God, I want you to open a door that no man can close, and close doors that no man can open. And you pray, Father God, you go before me and you clear the way so that there's no obstacles, there's no distractions. And it gives you a chance then to witness without interruptions. And if you've got their complete attention, it's a lot easier to witness to them. So when you have your prayer time, it pays to pray for these people before you go to speak to them. And then it doesn't hurt to pray just before you get there. And put your trust in God, because when you pray and ask God to come, because God's main purpose is to get people saved. God will set up a situation where you can meet somebody off the street or meet somebody at random. But if God specifically gives you someone to go and talk to, that's when you can pray, you can be prepared, your heart can be right. And I usually say, God, give me the words to say when I open my mouth so that I'm not just sounding like an empty gong. Last night I went to dinner and I knew in advance that I was going there for one person. And it gave me an opportunity to pray for God, for no distractions, for God to give me the words to say. Because this person, the whole problem with this person was God wasn't real to them. Even though they know about God, they've been brought up and they've been taught about God, but God just wasn't real. Then you ask God for wisdom. Because sometimes you need a word of knowledge, something that'll grab their attention, something that you're going to say. And like with this family last night, I said, you will need to cut off the spirits of the Aboriginal dream time over your family, over the father, over the children. And that released something. When that happened, when I prayed for them, something broke in their mind, in their heart, in their spirit. and just cut off all the stuff from the dreamtime spirits. And then they was open to receive the word of God, and the power of God touched that family, not just the person I went there to witness to, but the whole family was touched by God. And they're what we call God moments.
So in speaking about prayer and prayer time and praying to God, how long do you think we should spend daily in prayer time to God?
Well, I think that's up to each individual to decide how much time they want to spend with God. But you need to balance that out, like, when's the best time for me to pray? Okay, I'll give you an example. I get up in the morning, I put my joggers on, I go for a walk, and I just pray while I'm walking. And, you know, it takes an hour. So there's an hour's worth of prayer there. Then when I come home, you know, while I'm walking around the house, getting ready to have a shower, using the bathroom or making a cup of tea, it's easier to talk to God. I find it easier for me to talk to God while I'm doing all these things. And then when I get in the car, it's a perfect time to talk to God. Because, see, before I used to get in the car, typical black fella, had the wireless on, country and music, you know, country and western, two channels, a red car, looked like a Jaffa, and just, you know, my whole life was country music. And I used to do 8 and 10 hour trips, you know. And I've learnt to change because I want to build a relationship with God. So gone to the country music, gone to the Jaffa, gone to the red car and the wireless with the two channels. And all I do now is I pray for 8 hours. And sometimes that really gets you a close relationship with God. Because when you in a relationship like you and your husband, if you walk through the door at the end of each day and hardly said good day to each other or hardly spoke to each other, then your relationship can be on rocky ground. But if you start to work in that relationship and get to know each other, then the relationship will stand the test of time. And that's what it's like with God. Now, I say to people all the time, now, don't tell me yet you haven't got time to pray, because I can pray in the toilet. I do some of my best praying in the toilet and even in the shower. And people say, but you really don't talk to God when you're in the shower. And I say, in the shower or in the toilet. I said, God looks at my heart, not my black ass. You know, it's so simple. Because God sees everything. He sees you when you're naked. He knows you're naked. I mean, can you imagine God saying to St. Peter up there, he said, that black fella, he's on the toilet again, I can't see him. You know, I can hear him, but I know he's not talking to me. You know, is he doing a number two or a number one? But that's God. You see, God is so precious. God loves us in all of our faults and all of our stuff, that God is so good. He doesn't care whether I'm naked. Yeah.
a lot of people spend a lot of time in prayer when they're going through stuff. I get asked a lot, if God is really there, like I pray a lot, if God is really there, then why is he making me go through this? Why isn't he taking me out of it? How would you answer that question?
Well, it's quite simple because, see, God promises that when we become Christians, he doesn't make everything a bed of roses. Everything doesn't go good. But when we go through trials and tribulations, when things are really going bad, that's when we grow as a Christian. That builds character. And you see, what God does is he promises not to take you out of the situation. But what he does promise is that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, that he's there with you through the whole journey. And it makes it bearable because, you know, he's trying to toughen you up. He's trying to get you to rely on him. And if we can go to God every time we have a very small problem, when we get the little things and we turn to God and we put our trust in God, we pray and ask God for answers. When the big crap comes, when you feel like, you know, the dodo bird and Fred Flintstone, you know, that big thing and they're all running for the cover because it just drops a perler, you know, from heaven. And there's a big dodo bird, you know, and it just goes all over the place. When that happens to you in real life, you know, you're prepared for it. Because if you allow God to deal with the little things, you'll automatically reach the God in the big things.
Sometimes churches have travelling ministers come, or some people actually minister to their
congregation.
That's it. Thanks, Tony. And people get prophecies. Why does it take so long for those prophecies to come true?
It's okay, because I've been through that. I've been waiting 30 years for the promises of God, and I wasn't in a visiting church. I was in prison. And I've been ministering and preaching the gospel, you know, every day to prisoners. And I said to God, what about my family? Who's going to lead them to the Lord? And then God caught me up in the heaven and gave me this vision, what was going to happen. And then when I got out of prison, I assumed automatically it was going to happen. But that's been 30 years in the waiting, 30 years in the making. And the scripture that comes to mind, God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than yours. And God's timing is always perfect. And sometimes when God gives us these words and we know, and you see, it's a bit like the old joke that God said to Moses, come forth, and he fell over and he come fifth. When God calls you to do something, he's preparing you. Sometimes you've got to be prepared for the promises, for the blessings, that the ministry that God's called you to do. If I can give it to you simply, when I joined the army, they didn't give me a slouch hat and a rifle and a bayonet and say, Tony, go to Vietnam, okay? They just didn't say, you need to just, here's the gun, here's the slouch hat, here's your pack up your troubles in your whole kit bag, you're ready for Vietnam. From the time I joined the army until I was ready to go and fight, it took 2 years. And you see, I was disillusioned because you see the old recruitment ads, join the army, see the world, you know, defend your country. For the first 6 months, all we did was stand at attention, stand at ease, salute. You got a sore arm from saluting everything above, you know, a private. You know, when every officer walked past you, you know, And the excitement of being a soldier, it died quickly because it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. But it wasn't until we got to the parade ground that, yes, sir, three bag full of sirs, the discipline, and marching in the parade ground and running a double time and all that stuff. But I realise now, had I got the Vietnam and got injured, didn't get injured before, all that marching, all that parade ground stuff prepared me with discipline to survive Vietnam. So that's what God's doing to you. A lot of Christians say, but I lose faith because I've had this prophetic word. I know it's going to come, and it doesn't come when I expect it to. And then I lose faith. The devil comes in and said, did you really hear from God? that black fella, because I am an evangelist. I do prophesy over people. And when you've gone away and something doesn't happen straight away, look, I know what the churches are like. I know what people are like. They said, that black fella, he was talking through his backside, you know. I mean, it doesn't happen that way. You know what I mean? But they just say, okay, God's timing is not my timing. You know, it's simple. Like when you're waiting for a miracle, waiting for healing, you're going on parallel roads together. It's when the prayers and the things meet, and God's word and God's prophetic word and his timing meet, when they cross over the railway track, there's not a collision. That's when the miracle happens. When God's promises and his word come together, that's when the miracle happens.
A lot of people out there will have people that are very sick or are dying, or know someone who has had a baby die or a loved one die. How do you respond to those people when they say, how could God allow this to happen?
Well, you see, God didn't allow that to happen in the first place in that sense. I mean, God is, he knows everything from beginning to end. You take my mum, for instance. She's a Christian. She's born again. She's in her 80s. But mum had 13 children, and she lost her first 7 children with cystic fibrosis because they weren't checking Aboriginal people for cystic fibrosis because it's totally a European disease. And so she lost the first 7 children, and then she lost another one after me and my brother, the fourth one after us, and my youngest brother now has cystic fibrosis. You see, sometimes, well, we all know we all have to die sometime, but you see, only God can determine when we're going to die. It's whether it's in a car accident, whether it's through SIDS, or whatever the reason, you know, that we do die, because there's only 2 things in life that are guaranteed. 3 things: child support, they'll catch up with you, taxes, and death. Sure, one of them will catch you and bite you. You know, that's what it is with life. It, you know, when we die like that, or we lose a loved one, you know, I believe if you've lost a baby, or you've had a miscarriage, or for some other reason you've had an abortion, that's not the end of that little child's life. It might have ceased to stop living in this world, but because we live in a spiritual world as well, and because if a child is underage and can't make a decision for itself, then the Bible tells us that, you know, that these children are going to go to heaven. And so one day, I know as a Christian, I'm going to meet my brothers and sisters that died at birth or died within 6 months of being born. When I was a young fella, when I was in the army, I had a girlfriend, and I went, say, she got pregnant and she had an abortion while I was in the army. I got the Dear John letter. I took it to the captain and he sent me there, and I was about 6 minutes too late. They gave her the injection to terminate the child. And it took a while to get over that. But now as a Christian, I know one day, even though the child was terminated before it got the full term, I know in my heart, in my spirit, that I will see that child.
In saying that, with abortion and people have abortions, do you believe that God sees that as a sin, that those people have had an abortion?
You mean deliberately by choice?
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says...
Well, wouldn't abortion be deliberately by choice?
Well, yes, of course it would be in the sense that, yeah, you choose to have an abortion, but sometimes abortions are granted for medical reasons.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, but there's a difference. Yeah. But either way, the Bible says that do not take a life.
Yeah.
It's the same as committing murder. It's a sin.
Mm.
Okay. But it doesn't matter whether it's a sin or not. The thing is, the bottom line is this: Jesus Christ died for our sins, that we don't have to live with the guilt and the shame of this sin, because Jesus already took that to the cross with him. All we have to do is accept that Jesus Christ loves us, he's forgiven us, and if we confess with our mouth our sins, he is a just and faithful God, and he will forgive us those trespasses, whether it's abortion, whether it's murder, whether it's robbing banks, whether it's telling a porcupine. I mean, I tell you what, you look at all our politicians, mate, they should be on their knees 24/7 with the porcupines they tell. You know, just as well God died for them as well.
your story for. I know I do so well, and how your pain and sorrow's written on your soul. The tears that bring you happiness, the scars that scroll upon your chest. You take control again for a while, but Jesus came so you could smile.
Alabaster Box with Perfect. I'm Heidi, and it's been good to have an informal chat with Tony today. Next week we'll continue to chat, but we'll be dealing with the subject of depression. We'll also meet a Christian who experienced depression when she was young. I hope you can join us. Same time, same station. If you'd like to talk to Tony about anything you've heard on today's program, give him a call on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Bye until next week, and God bless. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.